Welcome to the next edition of Business Law Focus. Great having you with us. Pleasure to welcome Natasha Wygert, who's a pro bono manager at E&S, and she oversees their portfolio, social responsibility portfolio in places like Mitchell's Plain and in Khayelitsha. And we're talking just ahead of Youth Day. And of course, Natasha, youth unemployment, youth development, you know, these are pivotal key issues. And, you know, just speaking from your perspective as an attorney on the ground driving this portfolio, how important, you know, is it to get these projects in place for upliftment?
Thank you so much, Evan. It is incredibly important. If we look at our statistics, it is a sad indictment. And therefore, projects that focus on enterprise development and entrepreneurship, particularly in the small, medium, and micro enterprises, are so, so important, because we see that if we focus on entrepreneurship, especially juxtaposed against joblessness, we can hopefully help to change mindsets and say that, you know what, even if we aren't able to get a job because those jobs are so scarce, we can use our talents and create our own source of employment for ourselves. And hopefully with the correct support through entities such as E&S, but other partners, be able to equip these entrepreneurs so that hopefully their businesses thrive. They're then able to become employers and in so doing, build up local economies. So I cannot emphasize how very important it is.
And of course, we're talking on or just ahead of and on Youth Day. And, you know, looking at some of these numbers, 45.5% unemployment rate for young individuals, 15 to 34. National average, of course, you know, 33% in the first quarter of 2024. So far worse for the unemployed youth. And, you know, this is a significant thing. I mean, this gap is too wide. The corporate sector, you know, you are playing a role. What are the areas that we need to look at to accelerate and close this gap?
I think we need to look at practical ways. I think we need to be able to equip people. It's also very, it's important to give people grants, right, in terms of startup capital and so forth. But it's important to pair that very closely with necessary skills and knowledge so that you know that you are applying it into someone or a group of people that have that knowledge to be able to run an effective business. Because the ultimate goal is to see those businesses thrive, not collapse, but thrive, so that they can then in turn have a way to improve their local environments and local economies, because that's going to filter into macro economies. So I would say that it's very important, yes, to have a model whereby there are ways that people are able to access funding, to not make that too cumbersome, to ensure that that is coupled with dedicated knowledge sharing and practical skill sharing, and even more so to ensure that that is ongoing and that there's some sort of mentorship tied into that. And therefore, it's very important that partnerships with various corporate enterprises can actually assist in that regard, because we have eager youth. The unemployment stats are atrocious. People are wanting to earn. There's a need to earn, but it needs to be done in a way that people are able to not have a business that starts but then cannot grow, because that's also going to cause a situation whereby the whole culture of building a culture of entrepreneurship might not get off the ground or might not be as effective, because if I see that my neighbor's not thriving, why should I even bother? So I think that's important. And if we look at our corporate sector, we can see that there's lots of resources, not just monetary resources, lots of deep knowledge and skills and a need to plow back, especially corporates that work in difficult in areas where there are difficult socioeconomic conditions, because they have a presence there. So it's wonderful that they can also give back to build that economy. So we need to create this culture of sharing, of partnership. And I think that we have that skills and expertise. And I'm hoping, and from the conversations that we've had on the ground, there is definitely an appetite from corporates, but also from entrepreneurs, particularly within the youth sector.
Of course, we keep hearing about ESG or seeing it in the headlines, right? The headlines don't really matter to these unemployed youth and these entrepreneurs who can't get the finance and the access, the resources. And you're quite involved with the social aspect, right? I think climate, et cetera, the environment has certainly come through governance. We're seeing progress, although obviously South Africa has been struggling a bit on the governance aspect, but we're starting to, yes, you know, to change and put laws in place to ensure that, you know, that we get off that grey list, that dreaded grey list. And, but the social aspect, do you think it's been a bit neglected? We need more to be done in that regard.
I think it needs to be more front and center, because I would argue, and people that are governance fundies or environmental fundies might totally say no, but I think it's something that feeds in all of those sectors. So it should be front and center. So it's putting people first, it's putting communities first. And from that, you'll see that things will flow, because it's that old age old question whereby we have high crime stats, but then what do we do with the linkage with unemployment and difficult socioeconomic conditions? So, yes, I think that more needs to be done. And I think that more needs to be done to build social partnerships and in a sustainable manner. So I think that having a dedicated S in ESG is very important, but we need to continuously foreground that, because that will feed into positive environmental practices as well as positive governance factors. And if you look at various, you can see intersections, for example, in the whole notion of sustainable fashion, for example, and saying no possibly to fast fashion, and that can impact very well with environmental, but it will also then impact well in the social, because we have a great history of seamstresses and so forth and tailors, particularly in the Western Cape. So then you're building in that social fabric through entrepreneurship, and you're meshing the two. But to answer your question in short, yes, I think that more needs to be done, and more needs to be done in an ongoing, sustainable manner.
So we see a lot about public-private partnerships, PPPs. You mentioned social partnerships. How does that differ, and how do you actually implement that? What do you need to do?
I think social partnerships is, I would say that it ties in very well with public and private partnerships, okay, but it's also looking at maybe not your big, for example, your government with a corporate law firm. I'm just using an example, but it's looking on the grassroots level and saying, these are the role players in various communities. This is the skills and expertise that you bring. These are the people that you have on your so-called database. These are the skills and expertise that we bring. And let's form this partnership that's mutually beneficial. And it's one whereby it's an equal partnership, so we're all sharing and we're all benefiting from that. But I think it goes largely on a grassroots level. So to give you an example of the ENS model, we have two fully fledged pro bono offices in Alexandra in Gauteng, Mitchells Plain in the Western Cape, that services Mitchells Plain, Khayelitsha, and the larger Cape Flats. And we definitely see it as a partnership and a social partnerships, because we have a long-standing footprint. We work collaboratively, I can never say that word, with our local partners. We try and bring in bigger stakeholders, and we make sure that everybody has a voice, that it's driven by the community so that it's relevant and necessary and not anyway a top-down approach, but it's very grassroots-based. So I say that is something that's needed. And then coupled with the broader public private partnership, it fits in very well in that ecosystem, and it ensures that people are held accountable and that it's always relevant whatever initiatives are brought forward, and that community members have a say and are front and center in those initiatives.
I see. And now to the issue of access to justice. I mean, you obviously have these offices in areas where people traditionally have struggled to access justice effectively. How is that going?
I think it's never going to not be needed. I think that there are inroads. And I think that the latest Legal Practice Council rules that are being discussed at the moment, making pro bono compulsory, so to speak, is a very big step in the right direction. I think that having models where it's community-based and in community, so people don't have to spend to leave and go, for example, to Sandton or go to Cape Town is important. But I think that there's always more that we can do, and it's constantly evolving. But I think the inroads are positive.
And of course, you mentioned socioeconomic rights. Obviously, we have such a strong Chapter 9 of our constitution in South Africa. Protecting, enhancing those socioeconomic rights is something that we just have to get right. A long road ahead, though?
Yes, definitely a long road ahead. But the fact that it is always on the agenda is positive. And the fact that there are now practical ways to, for example, facilitate access to justice through acts being placed, for example, the Legal Practice Act and so forth, through dedicated programs such as ENS, but other entities as well, that look at socioeconomic rights and look at it holistically and say a very important part is creating and bolstering entrepreneurship, for example, looking at skills transfers. So looking at it holistically, and you can see how it's grown, even if you look at the case law and saying continuously evolving. So it's alive to the needs of people. And sometimes one might say that the implementation is the issue. We have amazing rights, but the implementation. Yeah. But I think that the continued focus and holding those that need to be held accountable in a constructive manner is happening. And I think that we just never need to lose sight of it. So there's a lot that needs to be done. But at the same time, it's not the case that it's forgotten.
Of course, you overseeing a portfolio across, as we mentioned, Mitchell's Plain, Khayelitsha, Alexandra Township. What's next on the agenda for you? What excites you the most about what you're planning ahead?
I think just ensuring that we grow our program, that we firstly never lose sight of the relationships and the stakeholders. But I think that what excites me most is interacting with community activists and community leaders so that we can continuously innovate our program, so that we remain relevant. So I love this area of law because it's never stagnant. Yep. And it's in formed by the principles enshrined in our Bill of Rights, but it's making it practical so that you can actually see that you are assisting and partnering with people. So I think innovation and continuous engagement and dialogue is something that is exciting me. And the uptake from both our practitioners and our ENS as a whole, but also the excitement from the community members and community leaders that we are really there, and the acknowledgement that we're in it for the long haul is exciting. Yeah.
Well, that is very good to hear. Keep up the good work. Natasha, sounds great. Such a pivotal and important area, and been great chatting to you.
Thank you for the opportunity.